everyone, and Happy New Year to you all. Before I begin, I just have a couple things I wanted to point out and say. First of all, I don't do this often because I know the worship team doesn't like to call attention to themselves, but didn't you appreciate them leading us into the presence of God this morning? It was wonderful. Thanks, guys. In fact, we had the Farmington Grace Boy Band up there today. The calendar will be out soon, and the action figures will come soon after that, so be on the lookout for that. As they were leading us in that first song, we were singing these words. The grave could not ignore it when all of heaven's roaring. Hell, where is your victory? And death, where is your sting? The world could not ignore it when all the saints are roaring. Hell, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? I couldn't help but think of our good friend Jan Fowler. Many of you knew Jan. We celebrated her life yesterday, her journey that she had. And I thought, Jan is up there going, yeah, I know. We don't know, but she knows. She's up there going, yes. Yes, I know this to be true. The grave is defeated, and hell, where is your victory? There is no victory there. There really is no victory. Wonderful thing. So thanks again, guys, for leading us into the presence of God that way. How many of you have ever done this, that you are you're having a hard time sleeping at night, and it's late, and you try to get up, and you maybe go to the refrigerator trying to figure out something to do. And you go turn on the TV and you start clicking through the channels and you come across this, right? The famous info channel, infomercials that come on TV. And then all of a sudden you're glued there. Am I the only one that's ever done this? I don't know. You know, all of a sudden you're just looking at some stuff here. And they're selling products that you don't need, apparently solving problems that you don't even know you have, right? Isn't that the case? Isn't that what an infomercial does? See if you can recognize any of these infomercials. What's that? The ShamWow, guaranteed to absorb 10 times its weight in liquid. So you knew that one. How about this one? The Snuggie, that's the blanket with sleeves or something like that. I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool to make a Snuggie out of a ShamWow, and then if you spilled a drink on you, you wouldn't have to worry about it. Look how happy that family is. Isn't that it? How about this one? The Flowbee. That's a good idea. The deluxe vacuum hair cutting system. And this is one that I came across I never had seen before. The egg sitter support cushion. Because after all, anytime you want to sit on an egg, you don't want to break it, right? You have to have one of these. Guaranteed that you won't break an egg. And then, of course, the king of all infomercials is this one, right? The Chia Pet. How many here? Go ahead. Raise your hand. How many here have actually owned a Chia Pet? Come on. Oh, a bunch of you. So as I was looking through the Chia Pets, I got to thinking. I saw that they have all sorts of different characters. They have Obama, they have Willie Nelson, they have the Duck Dynasty people, they have Shrek, they even have a Donald Trump one. And I got to be thinking, what if we had our own Grace Farmington Chia collection? Or how about this one? Yeah, that's an improvement. How about this couple right here? I love that. When I did that, I just was laughing out loud. I said, that's so fun. Gary and Sue, you look great. Look at that. And then, of course, there's this one right here. Oh. The Chia Pet, the Grace Chia family. Here we are. And then there's this infomercial which got the whole thing going. See if you can remember this one here.
In Japan, the hand can be used like a knife. This method doesn't work with a tomato. That's why we use the Ginsu. It's a knife that no kitchen should be without. The Ginsu can cut a slice of bread so thin you can almost see through it. It cuts meat better than an electric knife and goes through frozen food as though it were melted butter. The Ginsu is so sharp it can cut through a tin can and still slice a tomato like this. It can chop wood and still remain razor sharp. What's more, it's a knife that will last forever. How much would you pay for a knife like this?
How much would you pay? In infomercials like this, there's always a before and after scene. Usually the before scene starts off like this. It's in black and white, and the woman is angry, and she's making a face, and she's usually blowing the hair out of her eyes, and the kids are in the background, and they're tearing the place apart, and the dog is eating the furniture, and the husband's rolled up in the corner like a little baby, sucking his thumb because things are going so bad, and the world is a mess, and there's nothing you can do. But then, what happens? There's life. A ray of light comes, a new beginning. And then the color comes to the screen, and the woman looks like she's just been to the salon, and she looks gorgeous, and the kids are all behaving, and the husband brings flowers to her wife, and the world is in a much better place. And why is that? Because she bought the Ginsu knife. Or she bought whatever it is to be able to change her life and have a new beginning, and things are okay. The thing is, after you seeing an infomercial like that, you begin to start thinking, wow, my knives, I wonder if they can cut through beer cans. I don't know. Or I'll bet I could save $100 a year on haircuts if I got the Flobee, right? Or, you know, if I got that egg cushion, my life would be better. And we go out and we do things and we call up the 1-800 number and we pay the $9.99, but while you're on the phone, guess what? They'll double your order. And not only that, you'll get the free steak knives and the deluxe potato peeler and all of this for $9.99 plus shipping and handling, which is usually shipping and handling, usually $49.99, right? So, seriously, we can all relate to something like that. We laugh about it. But this is what we can all relate to, too, especially this time of year. We can relate to wanting to have a change in our lives. Maybe our lives are like that black and white scene where things aren't going so well and we seem like we're in a mess. We have no order in our life. And we just are looking for something to fix us. Especially this time of year. You know, you find yourselves thinking about that this time of year with our New Year's resolutions. What can I do to fix myself? How can I improve myself? What can I buy? What can I add? What can I do to be making this a lot better? Last week, Pastor Kelly talked about this. He said, there is a starting point for a new beginning. And where is the starting point? It all begins with Jesus. These changes that we're talking about, they all start with Jesus. You see, Jesus calls you. He chooses you. He pursues you. And that call, that pursuing, that choosing leads us to respond to him. And that's when we begin our change. We start understanding our sinful condition and we change, we repent of that, we turn around and we receive a new life by confessing our sins to God and receiving his gift of grace and his forgiving love that comes our way. And it's a fantastic starting point for a new life, a new beginning. But really, there's more to it, too, than that. And I'm not saying that there's more to being saved or more to salvation, but there is more to this word called sanctification. That means to become like Jesus. It doesn't just end right there. There's this process that Jesus brings us through. I once heard, I think it was that guy. I can't think of his name, but he's a pastor. And he said, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Max Lucado, that's who it is. That's who I don't know if he's the guy that wrote that, but that's who I heard say it. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. So there's this process that he invites us into. And so part of this process in receiving new life, in this new beginning, is God invites us to get rid of an old life, our old nature, and take on his life, his nature, this new life that we have here. Our problem, and the problem with so many Christians for thousands of years, is this, that even though we want the new life, we cling to the old life. Anyone here like that? Come on, admit it. That you desire this new life, this new beginning that is promised to you that Jesus wants to give us, and we say, yeah, I'm ready for that, and we experience the grace and the freedom, and we come to Jesus, as the phrase is, and we receive him, and yet we still hold on to our old baggage, our old stuff. We carry around a bunch of junk that came with our old life. Our pride, our selfishness, our bitterness towards someone that we used to have in an old relationship. We cling on to that. And then there's some sinful actions that we hold on to, too. Maybe we get angry too easily, or we drink too much, or we have a pornography problem, or we lust after money, or lust after things, or lust after people, you know? And we hold on to these things, and this junk weighs us down, and it keeps us from being all that God wants us to be. Even though he has called us to this new life. It's in our nature to do this. And the Apostle Paul recognized this. In fact, he wrote a lot of letters to the early churches that were around, talking about this struggle in the church and his own personal struggles that he was having dealing with this. And he reminds them, and he reminds us of how we can overcome this struggle. And it's not with a Ginsu knife or a Flowbee, but it's with this. In fact, he says that before you get something new, you have to get rid of the old. And there's a process. It's not like do this and do this. They intertwine. They relate to one another. Before you walk in this new life, you have to work on getting the old life. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about out with the old and in with the new. Listen to what Paul writes to the letter to the Ephesian church. He says this, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. This term Gentiles is referring to non-Jews, but in this way, it also represents those that are not living the Christian life. It represents those that don't live for God, but live for themselves, like us, that we do sometimes. So he's saying, don't be like that, don't live like that, because it's going to make you hopelessly confused, kind of like that woman in the black and white, right? Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. Thursday night home group, we were talking about that this past week, weren't we? We were talking about this very scripture right here. See how Paul writes that we wander far from the life that God gives us. And why is that? Because we close our minds, we harden our hearts, we pick up the old sinful nature, and we hold on to it. Paul's saying, don't do that. Don't be like that. And he says, they have no sense of shame. They live for the lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You see what Paul's saying here? He's saying if you really want new life, if you want this new life, this old life you have to just get rid of. You have to put it away. And he uses this word, throw off, throw it away. Get rid of it. And then you can get that new nature, a new nature that God gives you. It's his nature, a nature that makes us like God with his attributes. So out with the old and in with the new. For as long as I can remember, the Boardman family has had this tradition at New Year's Eve where sometimes shortly after the ball falls, Everybody in our family, my mom, my dad, my brothers and sisters, we would, and wives and spouses and kids and everything, we would try to walk outside, look up to the sky, if it wasn't pouring or snowing or whatever, and even we'd do it then, look up to the sky and pray to God, just thank him for the past year, think about the good that has happened during that past year, and then also think about the bad things that have happened that last year, and just give them to God. Say, I'm leaving this out here. And then we turn around and we walk back into the house, bringing in the new year. Anybody ever do anything like that? That's like a tradition. And this year, we Sue and I didn't do it because we were in bed at 11:30 this year. But I typically do that, and bringing in the new. And Paul is telling us to do the same thing. He's saying that if you want to live a new life in Christ, this is what you need to do. You can't cling on to the old life. Throw it away. Leave it outside. Make that last year. I like that. Throw it off. Throw it off is what he says. He doesn't say to gently put it down or leave it behind you. He says, throw it. Get rid of it. Paul knew, and he wants us to know that we shouldn't be carrying all of this stuff around because it's going to weigh us down. It does. In the famous novel, Pilgrim's Progress, there's this character, his name is Christian. And Christian is on this journey of life, and he's trying to live a Christian life. And he walks up mountains, and he climbs over rocks, and he crosses rivers, and he does all sorts of things. And the whole time he's on this journey, he has this huge weight on his back. He's carrying this huge sack around with him. And you know what it is? It's a burden of his sin, of his former life. And he carries it everywhere he goes. Until finally, one day, he comes before the cross of Jesus Christ. And as he approaches the cross, the backpack just falls off. The burden disappears. And the book says he starts to sing. And he starts to, his journey becomes lighter, and he's fleet-footed as he goes forward. And he goes on toward the prize that is before him. Because the burden was gone. And that's exactly what Paul is trying to say to us in those scriptures that we are reading. He's saying this burden that you're carrying around, that can be dropped off, that can be taken away at the foot of the cross. Why are you carrying it around? Why are you trying to live this new life when you have all the stuff of your old life on your shoulders? Put off the old and put on the new. In another letter, he wrote to the Jewish church, the Hebrew church, and he said this, they were in Jerusalem. He says this, he says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Don't you find that sin entangles you? It kind of reaches out to you, and it pulls you in, it ropes you in, and it does weigh you down. That sounds like our friend Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress, doesn't it? And it sounds like you and me. It's exactly who we are. That's the type of person we are. And it's good advice to do this, but you know what? We don't necessarily do that. Not all of us, at least. And many of us don't do it often, or we never have done it. Because this is what we do. Many of us choose to carry around our sin. We choose it. It's not an accident. We say, I'm going to do this. We choose it. We take that pride, that bitterness, that envy, that lust, we throw it all into the backpack, and we throw it on our backs, and we say, okay, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to take on life. And we enter into life like that. And it's our own choice that we're doing that. We choose sin. And we say, I'm ready for a new life with Jesus, but I'm not ready to get rid of this old life yet. It doesn't work that way. At least it doesn't work well that way. Once again, Paul, in another letter to the early church, says this to the Corinthian church. He says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. Notice that it doesn't say the old life is covered up, Well, the old life morphs into a new life. It says the old life is gone. It's dead. Bye-bye. See you later. It's gone. Then a new life begins. Out with the old. In with the new. I think that this is a problem for us. Once again, we take this old life and our old nature, and we try to clean it up. We try to fix it. After all, isn't that what this time of year is about? Our New Year's resolutions? We say, I'm to this, I'm to that, I'm to this, and I don't do this enough and everything, and I'm going to fix that starting January 2nd. And I'm going to begin. And then we usually try to fix that. It usually has something to do with eating, drinking, smoking, exercise, or relationships, right? That's what our New Year's resolutions have to deal with. And you know what happens? So many times we fail because we don't really throw it off and we try to fix it ourselves. You notice when Christian came before the cross, it's not like he had to take that burden and throw it off. He approached the cross and Jesus just took it off for him. And he's inviting us to do the same. He's inviting us to do the same. There's a pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer who lived during World War II. He was a German Christian, and he wrote a book called God is in the Manger, and it's a series of devotions that you're supposed to read around Advent, right through the Christmas season into the New Year. And in the January 1st reading, he was talking about how so many people make resolutions of new beginnings, which is what we're talking about, and he says, but really, they're just the same old people making promises that they can't keep, setting goals that they'll never attain. And he asks this question. He says, why? Why is that? He says, because people cannot change, not fundamentally, at least, he says. He says, we are who we are. I hate to break this to you, but you know who we are? We're sinners. We're lost. We're a mess without Christ in our lives. And that's what Dietrich goes on. He says, only God can make a new beginning. Only God. Think about that. Who can wipe your slate clean? Who can take away your sin? What can wash as white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, the song says, right? Listen again to that amazing claim in the gospel. And this is a different translation here. It says, if any person is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. All things are becoming new. Notice how it says all things are becoming new. It's a process. That's what we were calling sanctification. It's becoming like Jesus Christ. And all of this is from God. It's initiated by God. It's sustained by God. It's completed by God in us. People cannot change, but God can change us. I want you to know that. I want you to realize that. Listen to what Pastor Adrian Rogers says about this passage right here. Repeat it again. If any person is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old passed away. All things are becoming new. And Adrian says this. Nature forms us. Sin deforms us. Schools inform us. Prisons reform us. But only Christ transforms. In Christ, we become new. A Christian is not just somebody who's become nice. He becomes new. He doesn't just turn over a new leaf. He receives new life. That's something to think about as we're trying to fulfill our New Year's resolutions, as we're trying to begin anew, have new beginnings in our life. Only Christ transforms. Only Christ transforms us. So what does that look like in real life? Really, what's it look like for you and me? How can I have a new life, a new beginning? Well, first of all, instead of carrying that baggage around that we have, then we need to do this. We need to throw away. Throw it away, as the scripture says here. To throw it off. This is where transformation begins. This is where the old self dies and Christ is able to give us a new self. So this is my question for you, and I'd like you to really think this through right now, just for a few moments. What is it that you have been carrying around? Take a moment. Think about that. There's something that is weighing you down. And it's something, perhaps, that you have done like this. You've taken it off your shoulders and you said, "Here you go, Jesus." And then you come back and pick it up again. You say, "Well, here, try again." And you come back and pick it up again. Whatever it is, Jesus is saying, "It's not too big for me. It's not too heavy for me. Nothing's surprising me. Give it to me. I can carry it." So bring it to Jesus. Throw it away. And then the second thing I want to say is repent of it. Turn away. Pastor Willie, you don't know this, but I read one of your messages just recently, and this is what Willie said. He said, "Repentance is more than just being sorry for what you have done. It is a deliberate act of turning away from that which is weighing you down." Doesn't that fit in nice with this message? Thank you, Willie. Thank you very much. So repentance isn't going, "I'm sorry, God." But repentance is going here. It's like this. It's coming and saying, "Lord, I am so sorry for my sin. And I just can't seem to get out of my own way. I can't seem to fix it myself. And I need you to take it from me. So I'm laying this. I'm throwing it away to you. But then, Lord, I need you to help me to turn away from it. To go the opposite way. So that this doesn't entice me to pick it back up again." That's repentance. So we need to throw it away. We need to turn away. And finally, we need to receive the love. I'm going to ask the band to come back right now. We read in the Bible that Jesus says of himself these words. Many of you can quote them. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So this is the truth of the matter. If we want new life, he is the way. He's the pathway to that. The only way to new life, the only way to a new beginning is through Jesus. Let me put it this way. You need to do more than know that Jesus is the way. You need to receive that way. Because we can know, "Oh yeah, Jesus, he can fix me. He can do something." But there's something else completely about receiving that. And say, "Okay, Lord, I'm taking that on myself. You know what I'm doing? I'm making this exchange. Actually, you're making this exchange for me. I'm taking all this crap that's on my back, all this stuff that's weighing me down, and I'm giving it to you. And you know what I'm going to get from you? Life. Freedom. A new beginning." And how do you receive this? You receive this through the forgiveness and the grace that Jesus offers us. It's free. You can't earn it. And you don't deserve it. But he gives it anyway. And it's here for you today. Right now, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask you to make this your own prayer. Do it whatever way. I'm going to take my time in praying some of these words here. And I'd like you to just either agree with me in your mind, or maybe you can whisper something to God. Some of you maybe have never prayed this type of a prayer. And some of us, it's maybe our 1,000,000th time coming before him, praying this type of prayer. But I think that we need to do this today. We need to throw away. We need to turn away. We need to receive the way. Let's pray. Lord, I cannot get out of my own way. So many times I've tried to fix myself and it doesn't work. So many times I've tried to get rid of things or add things to my life to give myself a new beginning. It doesn't work. So today I'm just confessing that, Lord. I'm confessing that I am a mess and I need you. And there's this thing all of us have this thing, whatever that, or these things that I'm going to confess to you right now, whether it's verbally or in my mind, Lord God, you know already, but you want me to be able to say these things to you. And there's these things that are weighing me down, that are stealing life from me, that are keeping me from having that new beginning that you have promised. Would you help me to throw it away? And would you help me not to pick it back up? Help me to repent of my sins. And then receive that promise of new life that you have given. The promise of your Holy Spirit living within me, that can empower me, that can develop me, that can lead me down a path of righteousness. Because I am no good at that on my own. So I plead for myself, for those that are here, Lord, today. We surrender ourselves to you in order that you may